wise men were. They were looking at that time, and they were rewarded with a glimpse of the Savior's face. Amen. Go do your study on that. That one was for free, just because Sister Pepper sang the song, so that doesn't count toward time, right? Well, Brother Pepper closed Sunday night and then preached for another 6 minutes, so I'll take my 6 minutes at the front. So, all right, we're going to head to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse number 11 is where we're actually going to go. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 11, says, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Amen. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for the opportunity we have to be in your house this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the worship, Lord, and the praise in your spirit that we've been feeling. I pray to God, Lord, meet us in this midweek service, Lord, and help me to minister this message you've laid on my heart. I pray to God, Lord, you encourage us, challenge us, strengthen us, Lord, and meet us in these altars. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Now, therefore, perform the doing of it." Some good sound advice. "That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." As we're looking at this portion of Scripture, we begin to see that Paul is writing about progress. Paul is writing about putting into motion that which we have within us. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight on a Christian life hack. A Christian life hack. Now, how many knows what a hack is? Well, I looked it up. I always know the terms, but sometimes we associate words and we put them to things that they don't necessarily belong to. So, I don't know. You may find out that you was right, or you may find out you was wrong. But a hack is usually a simple and clever tip or technique for accomplishing some familiar task more easily and efficiently. How many likes efficiency? Good. I really don't know anybody that doesn't like efficiency. And everybody likes easy, don't we? I mean, we like easy. We love it. Well, I'm going to share with you that in this Christian walk, in this Christian life, there's a lot that we know. And there's a lot that's familiar. But there is an efficient and an easy way to put what we know and what's familiar into action in our lives. A Christian life hack. Now, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth about a skill they needed to add to the repertory. He was writing to them about some things that, though they were familiar with them, they hadn't acquired the skill yet. How many would say, there's still some Christian skills that I need to acquire? You said, well, yeah, skills, Christians? I mean, that, yeah. We need to be skilled Christians. We need to be professionals. How many has acted in an unprofessional manner? Do not raise your hand. Sometimes when we think of professionals, many times we think of people that are very confident, they're very tight, maybe they're wound tight, they're very brisk, they're very businesslike. And sometimes we don't always associate that with the Christian walk, because sometimes we think, well, the Christian walk, well, it's one of love, it is one of peace, joy, compassion. And you know, sometimes we almost get a hippie mindset about it. It's just, oh yeah, it's a Christian walk, it's all cool, man, it's love. Well, you see, as Christians, we're called to be professionals. We're called to be efficient. We're called to be easygoing, but yet at the same time, ready, in operation. Do you know if you're too laid back, you won't accomplish much. Sometimes you need to be wound up just a little bit as a Christian so you can accomplish a little bit more. So Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, and he's talking to them about a skill that they needed to add to the repertory. And so he says here in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying as much with entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Boy, this is some commendation here. This is some things that Paul said, I watched these believers, I watched these Christians and the power that they possessed, and then the power that they had and possessed that was beyond themselves. And in fact, it was such a beautiful thing to behold that they came to Paul begging him to take a gift to another Christian that was in need. Now, he's talking about some Christians that were in Macedonia, and they possessed this skill that Paul is trying to get across to the church of Corinth. They possessed this. And so he begins to use him as an example of some Christians who stepped up and began to perform a skill in an efficient manner. Part of the reason they was able to perform this gift and give this gift was because they began to pull from a power that was beyond themselves. You see, this walk that we lead as Christians, this life that we live, and the things that we begin to learn and we begin to do and we study, and when God lays things on your heart, you begin to grow as a Christian. All of this stuff, it's designed to make your walk with God as efficient and simple and easy as possible. Now you say, well, you said, Brother Jason, how come my Christian walk's not easy? Well, I'm going to share some things with you tonight. So really what Apostle Paul's dealing with here, and this is going to apply to a bunch of different skills, we're going to be dealing a little bit with the skill of giving tonight, which it is the season of Christmas time. And so this is what Paul was addressing, though, within the church of Corinth, was the skill of giving. Now, the skill of giving goes way beyond just giving, and that's what we're going to get into, because the skill of giving, it's something that you have to work at. It's something you have to hone, and it's something you have to begin to get good at. And so Paul's writing here, and he says, he gives them a commendation in verse 7. He says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us," I want to stop right there. The church of Corinth was doing great. They were doing good. He's saying, you abound in everything. He said, you're over the top in faith and utterance. What is utterance? Well, that's speaking in tongues. That's prophecy, tongues and interpretation. They were letting God use them. I mean, they were over the top in utterance. And he goes on and says, and in knowledge, you've been studying the Word of God. You know this stuff. You know what's right. And you've been given all diligence. Man, you've been in church. You've been there when the doors are open. I mean, you've been making sure that you've been having your morning devotions and prayer times and reading God's Word. This is awesome. And he said, and in your love. He said, you're abounding. You're over the top in love. I mean, man, we would stop right there and say, woo, if we had all of this in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, I don't know if there's much more to abound in. Well, you see, we all admitted we need to add some new skills and hone some techniques. And he says, so take what you're abounding in and take the knowledge you possess and begin to abound in this grace also. What is it? Well, it's this giving. They had all of this going on. And it wasn't that they weren't generous. And I want to bring this out. It wasn't that they weren't generous. What Paul was beginning to diagnose is how they diagnosed the giving. How they recognized the need. How they saw the opportunity. It wasn't because all of this that goes on, will begin to bring about a certain amount of generosity. But Paul was wanting them to look beyond just what was familiar to them and begin to look at a broader scope. He said, broaden your skills. Paul commended the group of Christians from Macedonia for enhancing their Christian life by embracing a needed skill. So now he instructs the Corinthians to look at the opportunity in front of them with the saints in Jerusalem. So what he's telling the church of Corinth is there's a need that is beyond what you see. There's a need beyond your little church circle. There's a need beyond your little town. There's a broader spectrum here, because the church of Jesus Christ isn't just secluded to one little organization or one little building here or there, but the church of Jesus Christ it's a broader spectrum. It's a global thing. And so he begins to encourage them to begin to gain a life hack by identifying some ways to be generous and give. So that's where I'm kind of giving you a groundwork here to get down to the few things that I want to tell you tonight. And this is that part. So wake up and pay attention, because this is that part. Number one, as a Christian, look for opportunity to increase your skill. How many's good at something? Look at me. I'm good at eating. But there are probably some in here that surpass me in that skill. We will not talk about that tonight. But number one, look for opportunity to increase your skill. Well, let me tell you this. Look for ways, number two, to serve those around you. Who do you spend the most time with as a person? Well, your family is where you spend the majority of your time. When's the last time you've been generous in giving with your family? Sometimes we got to look out, but sometimes we got to look close before we can look out. There are some, and I don't remember who wrote the book, but there's a guy that wrote it down, and he writes about the five basic love languages that everybody speaks. And what's humorous about all of that is we go through there and we see what we like. As a parent, have you ever bought your child a gift that you like? It's Christmas time, and I remember with Titus, when he was little and it came time to buy Christmas presents, I was all excited, and I went out and I saw a big wheel. And I had a big wheel when I was growing up, and I loved that thing. I rode the fire out of that big wheel. So we bought the big wheel for Titus. And he could have cared less about the big wheel. We opened it up, opened the box, put it together, and he got on it. Of course, it wasn't quite big enough for you. I was a little overeager, maybe, and misjudged it by a couple years, but the big wheel sat in the bedroom untouched for a couple years before he wrote it, and then he didn't write it very long. But it was one of those things that I was mad. I was just so excited to see him open the big wheel. Who did I buy the big wheel for? I bought the big wheel for me, didn't I? You see, this is what Paul was addressing within the church. Many times as Christians, we recognize opportunities, we recognize the need for generosity, but many times we are generous in the areas that serve us best. Many times when we look to our families and we begin to realize we need to give more in our families, we give in ways that benefits us the most. You know, when Sister Sarah opens that Milwaukee Impact driver for Christmas that I got her, I'm sure she's going to be happy about that. I'm going to give the husband some advice on what not to buy your wife. Number one, don't buy clothing that involves sizes. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right. And your wife will be offended the other 6,999 times. Number two, avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win you any brownie points. Number three, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you could afford, she doesn't like. Number four, finally, don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that? She's going to ask. But don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, is that all I'm worth? These are some humorous things I'm telling you about. But this is where many times we are as Christians. You know, many times we look at ourselves and we feel like we're very giving people. But are we actually spending the time to diagnose how someone needs given to? I have found in my marriage, yeah, my wife likes money. I'm picking on a little bit. But she likes it when I'm there. That's something that's important to her, is if I'm there. And then if it goes one step further than that, especially husbands, take a note here. If you're there, you got to actually be there. That's the other. That's the part I work hard at, is being there, there. Does that make sense? You know, all there. You say, well, you're not all there. I know that. But we have to learn. Those are things with spouses. If you don't learn how to give gifts to each other, you end up in a kind of a complicated situation many times, of a lot of misunderstood things and a lot of sometimes hurt feelings and frustrations, if you don't take the time to learn what somebody likes to get. And as Christians, it's not always a one-size-fits-all when we begin to give. There are things that, if you look, you understand, hey, man, a $100 bill isn't going to do this person any good. This person needs a cup of coffee picked up and put in their hand. I got a donut from Pastor this past Sunday. And, hey, I like that donut. That's the first time Pastor's actually brought me my own donut on Sunday morning. That was a milestone in my book. And you know what? It made me feel good. You know what? Because I really like donuts. And it was one of them donuts that I hadn't got to eat yet, the pumpkin spice one from Brown's Donuts. But those are things that many times we underestimate what the power of the gift can do. But if you spend a little time investigating on what people like or need or enjoy, then the impact of the gift, it doesn't have to be huge, it doesn't have to be great, it doesn't have to be expensive, it just has to be right. So this is what Paul was talking about to the church at Corinth. They were busy, they were going, they were on fire. I mean, they had the gifts of the Spirit in operation, but there was one thing that they still needed to possess and acquire and hone, and it was their ability to diagnose where their generosity was best spent. And this is what Paul began to talk to them, and he says in verse 12, he says, for if there be first a willing mind. See, here's the thing with Christian life hack. It's easy when you got a willing mind. You see, sometimes we bull up and we get mad because the wife didn't like the gift we got her. And we cannot understand why. And sometimes we'll rather be mad at her for not receiving the gift, when really we need to self-inspect to find out what was wrong with our gift. How many times have you come to God and basically presented God the picture of perfection that we are? And when God says you need to acquire a new skill, we get offended that God would suggest that we as professional Christians need another skill. Paul said this, if there's first a willing mind. I mean, that's the first thing. If you can't say, I need a new skill, then, well, you might as well hang it up and go home, because you're not going to make it as a Christian. You're not going to be happy in church. But then we got to have a willing mind. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What's he saying here? Sometimes God diagnoses a place to be generous, but it's outside of either your comfort zone, your means, or anything that you can do. And many times, because it's out of our grasp, we choose not to be generous in giving in that area. But if God specifically pointed to that, then all he asks is that we make up our mind. Woo! It don't have to be hard. It don't have to be difficult. It can be easy when you just have a willing mind to do what God has asked you to do. Man. And then this leads us on up to the verse that I read for our opening. It says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. Out of everything that Paul was saying, he says, now you know, you've heard, you understand. The easiest way to be a Christian is just to do it. How many times have you sat around and talked about doing something? And honestly, the only easy way to get it done is just to get off the couch and go do it. This is what Paul said. He says, now therefore perform the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to will. What did he just say? Down here in, I got to scroll down here and find it again. In verse 12 is what we'd read. He was talking about the willing mind. And then he comes back up here in verse 11. He says, as there was a readiness to will. Hey, what was that? That was a change in my mind. So there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. See, what I want to tell you tonight is that the Christian life hack is that you already have what you need. You just need to learn how to use what you have. It's not that we're taking anything new. It's not that we're learning anything new. It's not that anything new is coming from underneath the sun. What God wants to do in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, is take what you have and learn how to apply it and learn how to use it. That's the hack as a Christian. That's what makes it easy. What takes familiarness and begins to apply a little grease to it so that it becomes easy to do. James 1:25 says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Somebody's phone's going off there. Get a hold of that thing. Amen. But we begin to find here that James, whoa, was he related to Paul? No, but well, they sure lived in the same time era, didn't they? He's basically saying the same thing Paul did. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and you continue therein. Oh, how many times do we forget what's said across the pulpit? You're going to remember about 5% of what I said tonight. And I'm okay with that. I know that's just how it is. You get 5%. So I got to give you what I feel is a healthy 5%. So, but being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to encourage us this Christmas season. We talk a whole lot about giving and giving the gifts and the receiving of the gifts. But I want to encourage you to look beyond just the gift. Look deep, because giving's not just about December. Giving is about 12 months out of the year, 52 weeks, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a part of who we are as Christians. And if we learn how to give in a way that benefits the person receiving the gift, you're going to see a great impact in your witnessing and in your efforts. This is part of being efficient as a Christian. Because sometimes just throwing love and throwing kindness and throwing good words, just throwing it. You say, well, it ain't making no difference, Brother Jason. Well, maybe you're not throwing it right. Or maybe that's not what you need to be throwing. If we become efficient with the gift, well, it's going to make a big impact. Diagnose who you're giving to. All right, I'm going to leave this with a humorous story. It's Thursday night. I can use a little humor on Thursday night, right? Okay, let's do this. It says, four brothers left home for college and became successful doctors and lawyers. Some years later, they chatted after having dinner together. They discussed the gifts they were able to give their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. Four rich brothers get together to brag about the gifts they gave Mama. The first said, I had a big house built for Mama. The second said, I had a $100,000 theater built in the house. The third said, I had my Mercedes dealer deliver an SL600 to her. The fourth said, you know how Mama loved reading the Bible, and you know she can't read anymore because she can't see very well. I met this preacher who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers and 12 years to teach him. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it. The other brothers were impressed. Shortly afterwards, the mother sent out her thank you notes. She wrote, Milton, the house you built is so huge, I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyways. Marvin, I'm too old to travel. I stay home. I have my groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes. But the thought was good. Thanks. Michael, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby Sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you. Somehow it appears that this mother would have preferred for her sons to give her a little bit of themselves. I want to challenge you as Christians. We're walking this life. Go ahead and diagnose who you're given to and what needs to be given. Because we will be more efficient in our walk with God. You're going to be more efficient in your family. You're going to be more efficient with your friends. And your witnessing will have a greater impact if you begin to pick up the skill of knowing how to give the proper gift. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight. Sister Lindsay, come back to the piano. I don't know if you'll recover from that one tonight or not. But I trust that you'll pick up this Christian life hack. There's a lot of them. But the easiest one to remember in the easiest way to live your Christian walk is to have a willing mind and perform what God has asked you to do. Our Christian walk only gets complicated when we are stubborn and we fail to perform what God has asks us to do. So, the tip tonight, change your mind. and do it. Amen. Let's gather in the altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer.